You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Jason Tatum, that's deflected and picked off Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just me today on the show. I'm going to do a quick 15-20 minutes here on the first exciting 2 days of free agency. We'll talk a little bit of Twitter mailbag. And then next week coming up, Brian Clark's going to join us and break down some of these free agents, more in depth. We'll get pretty heavy into DJ Reed and Jordan Whitehead with Ryan next week. But obviously an exciting start to the offseason. Very un-Jets-like, for the organization. I think as Jets fans or anyone that's followed the Jets for, a number of years, free agency seems to always be a time where the Jets spend a lot of money. They always have a lot of cap space, at least the last, decade or so. Always have a lot of cap space, always linked to all these big free agents. Usually end up with one or two of them who are either past their prime or the Jets had a severely overpay. As much as I love CJ Mosley is the prime example of the overpay. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, or like Tremaine Johnson or Revis the second time or Cromartie the second time, all these guys that are, obviously past their best and paying them, like they are not. But this year I felt like the Jets, they had some really clear holes. Obviously we've talked about this a number of times, whether it be, they had a second tackle spot that's up in question. They need a number one wide receiver. They needed a number one corner. They needed two safeties. They needed a right guard. They needed another edge, like all these different things. That said, some of the names, yes, they were involved in the Stephon Gilmores and Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams was a miss. 25 years old, the Jets got outbid by the Ravens, which is, is obviously unfortunate. The Jets, he only signed for $14 million a year. Obviously there was, I reported, Connor Hughes reported, multiple other people did. The Jets have to pay upwards of $17 million to kind of pay that Jets tax. And the Jets didn't do that, right? That's Mike Maccagnan would have kept, pumping up the price there. What they did do, they go out early on day one, Lincoln Tomlinson, 30-year-old, left guard / right guard from the San Francisco 49ers, Pro Bowl last year, scheme fit, nasty, tough. From people I spoke with, he's going to bring that nastiness to this offensive line room that they're desperately, needing. So that was a huge, huge way to start free agency. 3 years, $40 million, about $27 million guaranteed. But I'm sure we'll get the contract details that'll come out, after 4 o'clock this afternoon, that it'll be it'll mostly be like a 2-year deal that the Jets can get out of, similar to the Carl Lawson, the Corey Davis signings, other signings like that, that 3-year deal, that's really a 2-year deal. The surprise was, Braxton Berrios' market was supposed to be a little bit, heavier than it was. The Jets bring him back on a 2-year, $12 million deal. That's really essentially a 1-year, $3 million deal. The Jets, to be able to start a free agency, addressing the biggest hole in your offensive line by far in right guard, and then going on to be able to get a fan favorite in Braxton Berrios, bring him back. It was just a really nice start to the day, the other day. So that to me, signaled the Jets had a, calculated plan. Again, they were, is Tomlinson going to have to move from left guard to right guard? Absolutely. That's the one concern. From speaking with some offensive line experts around the league, I know Damian Woody spoke a lot about this. It's just going to come down to reps. He played right guard in college at Duke. So it's not as if he's not familiar with playing right guard, but he's only played 65 snaps at right guard in the NFL. So, you know, it's going to take some time to adjust there, but the Jets should have a damn good offensive line next year. If you get a healthy Mekhi Becton, or, you know, for whatever reason, you draft Ike Ekwonu at four, I mean, this offensive line is going to be mauling people, right? You know, I've talked a lot about this. The best way to help Zach right now, get him weapons and protect him as much as possible, and kind of basically put the onus on Zach, right? That's the biggest thing is, make sure that, you know, no matter what happens, you can properly evaluate him. There's no half measures of, oh, we kind of half addressed the offensive line. Oh, we kind of half addressed receiver. You know, since Joe Douglas has gotten there, the Jets paid over $30 million for George Fant. Obviously a great signing. In hindsight, they traded up multiple third round picks to go get Elijah Vera Tucker at 14. They drafted Mekhi Becton at 11. They have now paid Lincoln Tomlinson $40 million. They paid Connor McGovern, I believe, 3 years, $28 or $29 million as well. So you cannot say Joe Douglas is not invested in this offensive line. Whether everyone hits, you know, McGovern and Becton have still some question marks around them, whether it be from leadership or, you know, health perspective. But, you know, fully healthy, this offensive line is in a really good spot. Again, Braxton Berrios, you know, great returner, obviously provides some, you know, is that wide receiver four backup slot guy, you know, gadget player. I think it's a really nice signing for the Jets. Again, based on where the details are at, it's really just it's a one-year deal. The Jets are not going to pay him almost $9 million next year. So, or 2023. So realistically that deal will get restructured, you know, or he'll get kind of re-upped next year, but, you know, really good start to the day. They're in on Gilmore. They're in on Marcus Williams. They're in on some other folks. You're starting to feel some good momentum, but, you know, they stayed out of the, you know, overpay for the Christian Kirks, who got 4 years, $84 million, which is simply absurd. I don't care how you phrase it, you know, what the, you know, incentives are. It's a ridiculous move by the Jaguars. So, you know, Zay Jones to the Jaguars for $30 million. Foley Fatukasi, who ended up going to, you know, I've been talking about for months, there's pretty much no way he was going to return. The Jaguars paid him an average annual value of $10 million a year in a three-year deal. Foley's a nice guy, you know, New York guy. Would have been nice to be able to keep him, but not the right scheme fit. And especially at that dollar amount, he has three career sacks and got $30 million. The Jets just cannot be, they're not in the position to be doing that right now. So, you know, other guys that, you know, they could have potentially, you know, been linked, you know, linked with, or, you know, looked at, you know, they're bringing Tevin Coleman back as well. You know, the Jets brought back, you know, guys like Guidry, you know, Tim Ward, and they brought back Jeff Smith, a lot of Dan Feeney this morning as well. So they brought back a lot of those depth pieces, you know, and they started out going all offense. And then, you know, I thought one of those signings that I think Jets fans are really excited about. And I think people around the league were also excited about CJ Uzomah from the Bengals. Tight end has been an issue for the Jets. I think that we all are pretty aware of how bad it's been at tight end. Last year, the tight end room was just, it was tough to watch, you know, frankly. And bringing CJ Uzomah on a 3 year deal, very modest, you know, $8 million a year, pretty middle of the market. You know, I think he was maybe the eighth or ninth highest paid tight end now. Again, middle, you know, it's kind of about where he, you know, he's probably between the eighth and 14th best tight end in football, and he got paid, you know, as such. When you look at what Will Dissly got in Seattle, the same exact deal, and I think Uzomah's far better than Dissly. It's not just about what he's going to be able to bring on the field from a perspective of, you know, opening up the passing game, you know, adequate run blocker, some of those over routes, some of those, you know, crossers and things like that, that Zach can have, you know, have that guy over the middle of the field. It's the off the field stuff as well. One of the huge voices in that Bengals locker room a year ago. And, you know, you see Chris Collinsworth of the world. You see every single Bengals fan just upset that they're going to lose Uzomah. And I think that says a lot. This Jets team needed to continue to adjust and, you know, change the culture. And it doesn't happen overnight, right? And they went from 2 wins to 4 wins. And yes, there was some feel-good stuff, but continuing to revamp that culture, bringing guys who've been there, who've done it. You know, Uzomah obviously being in Cincinnati for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years has seen some shit, right? But he's able to overcome it. He's a guy that you hope can bring that kind of not only just mentality, you know, on Sundays, but, you know, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, you know, walk, you know, talk the talk a little bit and then come in and, you know, walk the walk on Sundays and produce. I think that was something that's super important. They started to do that last year with guys like Sheldon Rankins. Obviously CJ Mosley is, you know, a great, you know, example of that, but continuing to just get guys that have been there, done that, and been able to, they can contribute, but also be, you know, vocal leaders. So, we'll get into the defense and the Twitter mailbag right after this. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball. Obviously we'll get, like I said, we'll get more in depth next week as these deals start to settle and kind of break down, you know, the fit and stuff like that. Want to kind of just review some of, you know, what went on. Yesterday, obviously day starts off with the Jets. You know, I reported it, you know, and a million people reported it as well. Obviously the interest in Marcus Williams is very real, and the Jets get outbid by Baltimore. From my understanding, did not, you know, they, you know, were not comfortable going to paying that Jets tax, which in the long run is a miss, but you know, the way they were able to kind of respond is fantastic. Go get DJ Reed from Seattle on a 3-year, $33 million deal. It's, you know, a player that's stocks on the rise, was familiar with Salah in San Francisco. You know, familiar with the scheme in Seattle, had a really nice year last year, shorter guy, longer arms, but, really nice player. You can see it on film. The second you put it on the film, it's, you know, you see why people are so high on him again. And then the guy that Seattle fan base was livid to lose. He's a name I know I connected with the Jets. I think DJ Bieniemy connected with as well, just because, again, that scheme versatility, the age, all these different things made a lot of sense. He'll, you know, he'll be their cornerback one default unless they, you know, they acquire somebody else or, you know, do something through the draft as a la Sauce Gardner or something like that. But, you know, it'll be, you know, Reed on one side and Bryce Hall and Brandon Echols competing for the other side, Michael Carter in the slot. And it's just, it's a dramatic upgrade. You know, Reed's a damn good player. Seattle was far better with him, you know, on the field. You know, him and Quandre Diggs really held it down for him, you know, covering up for some other liabilities, you know, in the secondary back there. So,
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
You know, I like the signing. We'll see that the actual guaranteed money, and we'll see what the average annual value actually is, because as I mentioned, the deal has a lot of upside in it, meaning I'm not sure. We don't know yet how much of that $33 million is actually, you know, actually part of the deal. That's not incentive based, right? So, you know, we'll see there. And then my favorite signing of the week, you know, for the Jets so far, Jordan Whitehead on a 2-year, $14 million deal is stealing. I like Whitehead's game a lot. He's obviously more of a box safety than he is that free safety, which the Jets are going to have to address, whether that be LaMarcus Joyner, a day two pick or someone else. But to get that value, based on what all these other safeties are getting paid, Whitehead's only 24 years old, turns 25 in a few days. So not that that matters much, but, you know, to sit there and have to get Jordan Whitehead for the price they did, to me, is fantastic. Another guy, proven winner, you know, in Tampa, has been around a great culture the last couple of years. And on top of that, hits hard, vocal guy, another guy that, you know, when guys leave, you know, and every player on the team's tweeting about how big of an influence somebody was on them, that to me is usually, that's a good sign. So, you know, that's where I would say, you know, I am with, you know, with the Jordan Whitehead signing again. I'm going to have Ryan break it down next week, you know, and how good, you know, Whitehead really is. But look, the Jets got, you know, four or five starters, depending upon how you look at it, I think for an average annual value of about $35 million. So I'm not sure, you know, they got guys that are 24, 25 and in the secondary, they got guys that are closer to 30 on the offensive side of the ball to mix with that youth. I think it's a home run. And look, at the end of the day, what the Jets were able to do, they didn't overspend. They let the market play out. But at the end of the day, they went and got guys that are going to be impact starters. I talked about this a lot, was, again, you know, go get above average to good level NFL starters in free agency and supplement that, you know, through the draft, right? And you have four top 38 picks. You have all these guys that, you know, you think hit last year. You've got some other good, you know, good pieces coming back, and you know, Lawson. You got CJ Mosley after a full offseason. All these different things, right? Zach in year two, Elijah Moore in year two, all these different stuff. At the end of the day, you had to go out and get veteran proven guys, but not break the bank to where you set yourself up. And, you know, the Jets didn't do that. Most of these deals are 2 or 3 year deals. You know, we'll see on the guarantees on some of them. Again, the Braxton Berrios deal, really a 1 year deal. Jordan Whitehead deal, it's a 2 year deal for not a lot of money. CJ Uzama, it's a 3 year deal for very manageable money. Lincoln Tomlinson, likely a 2 year deal on very manageable money. So the Jets will continue to, they're going to continue to build and continue to add depth signings here. But, you know, bottom end of the day, again, repeating myself here, but I love what they did. You know, the first, you know, 4 or 5 signings they made, obviously retaining this, you know, guys like Berrios as well as, you know, Joyner, Tevin Coleman, those names are important as well, to continue to keep continuity there. Guys that know the culture, the guys that, you know, want to be here, depth pieces. But Tomlinson was a hit for me. You know, we'll see what happens when they move to right guard, but, you know, the Jets got nastier up front and they filled a huge hole. Tight end, probably one of the, you know, most understated biggest holes in the roster. They went out and got a good player on the field, great guy off the field. And they'll supplement that with a draft pick, you know, and a potential, you know, second veteran signing, but they upgrade the tight end room. They go to safety. They need 2 new starting safeties. They got a really good starting safety and they're well on their way to get a second one. They needed a starting number one corner. They went out and got one. So, again, is it the flashiest names? No, but is it guys that are going to make them a lot better on Sundays and also bring a lot to the locker room? Absolutely. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you need to do. And again, the Jets didn't go out and spend stupid money, you know, like some of these other teams did, and put themselves in a situation where, you know, in a year from now, when they're 1 or 2 pieces away, they can't go acquire that, that last missing piece, you know, to take them over the hump. Short episode today again, but lastly, I'm going to finish up with a few Twitter questions here. Kind of, you know, address kind of the offseason going forward. Alex Lee says, you know, that's his Twitter name. Obviously, he said this as well. Who do I want at 4 and 10? Who do I think we ultimately draft at 4 and 10? Gut feeling as of today, the Jets go edge and wide receiver. If they go Thibodeau or Jermaine Johnson, then, you know, Garrett Wilson or Drake London, I think that'd be fantastic way to fill, you know, huge needs. Again, I know Connor Rogers mentioned this a bunch. A lot of people in the draft community have mentioned this a bunch. The one, you know, kind of wild card is obviously Ike Ekwonu falling to 4, and, you know, what that means for Becton. But as of right now, if I was Joe Douglas, I'm going, you know, Johnson or Thibodeau, and then, you know, Wilson or London at 10. You know, granted, they're there. Steve_Weitzman, what are the Jets likely picks in the first 2 rounds? I'm thinking edge, wide receiver, linebacker, and D-line. Only mentioned this one, obviously, to get into the second round. I would say day 2 is going to be a mixture of safety, corner, linebacker, interior, defensive line, and tight end. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be 2 of those picks. The Jets are in a good spot. Again, we have to see what's going to happen here. you know, with the depth pieces, the rest of free agency guys, you know, that, you know, could, you know, shake loose, or, you know, the Jets may capitalize on to get a veteran in there, especially at linebacker potentially, you know, and tight end, maybe if, you know, they go sign a Max Williams, then I doubt they're going to take a tight end in the top 38. They're more likely to take one in round three or four. And, you know, then they go with a three deep tight end room that way. iPod, Ahmad, JC Treader coming in, McGovern cut. How likely is this? I don't know that it's likely, but it's something I would look into. Depending upon price, JC Treader would be a big time upgrade. He's a top three or top four, you know, pass blocking center in football. You know, you mix that with how good, you know, the AVTs, Becton's of the world are in run, the run game, Tomlinson as well. And, you know, I think it'd be a good move. I just would like to see the numbers first on that. If Treader's looking for a two for 20 type deal or something of that nature, and you kind of can net zero there, I think you'd do it. But I think the Jets are only going to move McGovern if there's a clear upgrade and the money works. So we'll see. It's something, again, I'd be in favor of, but we have to see there. ALE Stella 6. Why is nobody talking about Za'Darius Smith? Financial reasons, scheme. I think it's more of a money thing. I think people, as much as they need help at edge, I think we forget how much money they have invested in that defensive line. You look at John Franklin Myers, that 5-year, $55 million deal. You know, he's set to make about 12 this year. Quinton Williams set to make about 10. Sheldon Rankin's another 6. Carl Lawson, another 15. They're going to, if they add an edge rusher in the draft, that's going to be another 7 or 8 million. So basically, I would say that it's the, it's a financial thing. And I think, you know, where the Jets are picking, I think it makes sense to try to go maybe young there and, you know, and go from there. Sergio Fett, is taking a safety corner in the top 40 stone play. Absolutely. Look, if they love Sauce Gardner and he's the number three player on their board and he's there at 10, how do you not take him, right? You, at the end of the day, if you really don't feel like Bryce Hall or Brandon Echols are future CB1s, which they're not, and then their ceiling is, you know, middle tier or upper level cornerback too, why, you know, you take that guy, right? Or safety, they still have a second hole at safety. They need a free safety, you know, maybe Marcus Joyner's a stopgap there, but, you know, I don't see him being there long term. So I think it's a guy that, you know, you try to address free safety in the draft. You look at a lot of different options, the Lewisines of the world, Daxton Hill, Jaquan Briskers. It's a deep safety class, especially in round two, and the Jets are in a good spot to upgrade there. Like images, why do I pretend to have real sources? I don't know. You should tell me that, because apparently I make everything up. Are the Jets done in free agency? Gase J3T. The Jets are not done in free agency. I think they're just done with the higher profile signings. It's going to be much more veteran depth pieces. Again, I mentioned at tight end, linebacker, potentially interior defensive line, maybe a depth piece at edge, of any Curry type signing. So they're not done. I'm sure they'll add 4 or 5 more guys. It's just not going to be the you know, big names that everyone's kind of accustomed to. Last one here. John Filippelli, what's one splash signing Joe Douglas can make if the player's market isn't where they think it is? It could be potentially an edge. If all of a sudden, for some reason, you know, someone's market starts, you know, torpedoing, maybe, but I don't see the Jets making any splash signings per se. I think they're in a spot where they're continuing to add good, you know, above average to good level players. Mixing with those draft picks between last year and this year. You hope you get something from Carl Lawson this year, and you're well on your way to Mekhi Becton. You're well on your way to a much more improved roster. So that's going to wrap for today. Obviously, shorter episode, just me today. But next week, Ryan Clark will be on the show. We're going to get really in depth on the secondary guys. Any other signings, I'll update you guys on as well. Make sure, you know, everyone subscribe again to Badlands. Tap RM Jets 50. $50 off $100 purchase. Cannot go wrong there. You know, weather's starting to get nice out, take advantage and, you know, get those seltzers and beers in you, and you get $50 off. We'll probably see a Deshaun Watson trade here in the next, the next 24 hours. We're going to see a lot of stuff happening. So, continue to be plugged into the channel, obviously. And, we'll talk to everybody next week.